Good morning, and may the Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Welcome to our worship of God this day, a particular welcome to those who are guests among us, a particular welcome to those who have been of our company and are now returning home. It's good to have you all here today.
And you are welcome back this evening for a wonderful time of hearing the year in review of the choir's anthems. At 7 o'clock tonight in the sanctuary, bring your friends. We're going to have a wonderful informal concert of the year in review. Won't you join us?
Next Sunday, we will welcome to our pulpit and to lead us in worship our own Heather Kramer. Heather, as you know, is a distance learning student at Western Theological Seminary. She's under the care of Schenectady Classes as she prepares herself for ministry. Heather will lead us in worship next week. The reason being is that Jan and I will be away next Sunday. The Reformed Church in America gathers this week on Wednesday in Pella, Iowa, for its annual week-long General Synod, and by coincidence, as Schenectady Classes rotates its ministers, Jan and I are both by rotation called to be delegates to General Synod this week. So next Sunday, think of us, we will be in beautiful Pella, Iowa. Last time the General Synod gathered in Pella, Iowa, delegates had to go to the basement because a tornado was coming. We trust that that will not happen next week. We will miss you. You may find out and keep up with what General Synod is doing by going to the Reformed Church in America's website, www.rca.org, and you can find out what's happening at General Synod.
Next week, next Saturday, the junior-senior high youth group we'll have a wonderful gathering at the Dykstras down in Duanesburg. Gather here at the church at 4. There is a flyer posted outside the nursery on your activities board, and Kate will meet you here at the church at 4 for a wonderful final gathering, and it's kind of a farewell to Kate, too. We have a new search committee organized now that we're receiving applicants for our youth leader position. The deadline is in just a couple of weeks. See that announcement. Make sure that you have a chance in the next few weeks to say to Kate what it means to have gotten our youth groups off the ground and done a fantastic job. So, youth, plan on next Saturday. And we gather for fireworks. See that notice on June 27th. There will be fireworks at Jumpin' Jacks. Gather out back, bring a dish to share. It's a wonderful family time. See that notice. You need to park your car in the lot for $5. Everybody has to pay. That's the way it is. Just see that notice. And looking ahead to playing golf fundraiser for Camp Fowler on July 7th. See that notice. There's more information on that. So there are opportunities for all of us, no matter what we love, whether it's music or golf, whether we're young or whether we're older, to participate in the active life of this congregation. But we gather on this day as Christ's people in this place. We celebrate the one who comes as the fire, and lighting the Christ candle this morning are the Macrons and the Horscotties who greeted you on your way into worship. Or just the Macrons. Our help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. And now we speak our psalm of praise. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things innumerable are there. Creatures great and small. All these look to you for food in due season. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground.
May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in all his works.
Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. You may be seated.
It's the day of Pentecost, the day in which the church marks the coming of the Holy Spirit of God. We pray to this mysterious Spirit of God this morning during our prayer of confession and during our time of reflection. I invite you to pray with me. Spirit of the living God, mysterious beyond our understanding, yet clearly seen in all that is excellent and true, I deeply need your help.
I did not create myself.
Neither can I sustain myself through life's anxieties, storms, temptations, disappointments, and confusions. So this morning I pray for light in dark days, inner strength for carrying heavy burdens, courage for doing what is noble, grace for sustaining me through personal sorrow, and clarity in knowing my vocation and what I am called to do in life. now to all who are searching for their way, hear what our gracious God says. Through the prophet Isaiah, God spoke, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she have no compassion upon the child of her womb? As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, says the Lord." And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who labor and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am lowly in heart, and in me you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
As God's forgiven people, then, I will speak how we are called to live, and then we will sing together in hymn number 335, so you may want to turn to that hymn now. Hymn 335. And hear then, what is the way that God calls us to live? Jesus said, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. Let us sing together.
Thank you.
life-giving Spirit, bring to the bones of these gifts the flesh of our actions and the breath of our caring, that our church and our service to others may come to life in your name. Amen.
This morning in your bulletin, you have a colorful insert that says, Celebrate. It explains the Kids Hope ministry of this congregation. And today we give thanks for our Kids Hope ministry after 4 years. Mentors, prayer partners, staff, and children at Sacandaga Elementary School here in the Scotia Glenville school system have been served for 4 years. Kids Hope is a national mission. It's not just here in Scotia, but it's a national mission that was begun over 15 years ago and it pairs one congregation with one elementary school. So we will always serve Sacandaga. We don't serve any other schools. And Sacandaga will only be served by First Scotia. So one congregation works with one elementary school, providing a mentor for 1 hour with one student during the whole school year. So think about it. We have 20 mentors who've been in Sacandaga School 1 hour every week with one student. And each mentor has a prayer partner who prays for that pair while they are working together at SAC. And you'll see there are initials, H-O-P-E, Kids Hope stands for Helping At-Risk Kids, is owned by one church. We pray. And it's for only elementary school-aged children. Our Kids Hope ministry is coordinated by T. Munson, who for over 4 years has recruited, trained, encouraged, and prayed for over 55 members of this congregation who serve as part of the Kids Hope team. We know that regular time with at-risk kids makes a huge difference. We've watched our children grow over these 4 years, and all the people would say that, yes, we have made a difference in the child's self-esteem and confidence, in their ability to focus or refocus, in their ability to deal with disappointment or with hardship. The mentors know that their prayer partners make a huge, huge difference. We have faithful prayer partners who we check in with each week, and sometimes I'll call my prayer partner and say, Betty, you had to have been praying right at the time that I was with my child, for she was very distraught and I didn't know what to say, and all of a sudden things fell together. The power of prayer has been evident to many of us. This morning we'd like to recognize our team. I ask that first our coordinator, T, would you stand up, please? Receive the thanks of your congregation. And T is one of the mentors. Will the mentors please stand? There's a whole bunch of us who mentor. Some of us have our t-shirts on. Let's stand. And there's a whole significant bunch who are our prayer partners. Would our prayer partners please stand as you are able or wave your hand? You can see what a significant ministry this is. One of the things that Pastor Craig and I will be doing when we go to General Synod is telling other pastors and elders about the significance of Kids Hope Ministry. It is one of the very visible things that we do. SAC has been a marvelous, marvelous school, and we can't thank the staff and administration there enough for the way in which they receive us. Today, we'd like to recognize our retiring mentor, Chris Bodden. Would you come up here, please? Chris Bodden. There are seven of us who have kids that are going on into middle school, and most of us have said that we will start all over again in the fall with a new kid. This one thinks she's going to be retired from everything. She's retired from her job, and she and Tom are able to travel more. Chris has carried one kid. It's felt like four two years. Kids. She's carried one child for 4 years and has done a fantastic job. Chris is one of the initial cheerleaders. When we were planting seeds in this congregation to say, this is a great program, Chris was one of the people that stood up and came to consistory meeting and said, this is a wonderful investment. As a retired elementary school teacher, she has brought great integrity to the program, has helped interpret the importance of Kids Hope to our congregation and also to the staff and to others. She's a wonderful cheerleader for the program. And in saying thank you to Chris, we say thank you to all of those who have served for at least 4 years. Thank you, Chris. And this is flowers for you to remember and to give thanks. Aren't they beautiful? You want to know how you can serve in Kids Hope? Talk to any of the one of us who are wearing Kids Hope t-shirts. Talk to T. Munson before she comes and gets you. It's a wonderful way to be involved in our community. Thank you.
We turn now to the hearing of God's word. This comes from the book called Acts. Listen now for the word of God. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it then that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others sneered and said, they are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, saying, men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day.
then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this from the book called 1 Corinthians. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the
Eve, on women, men, and children who would God's grace receive. That Spirit knows no limit, bestowing life and power, the church formed and reforming, response in every hour.
Followed it as a scientist and a biologist. next thing, we see the disciples again in the Sea of Galilee in a fishing boat, casting their nets to earn their bread. It's early in the morning, and as the sun rises, they see a fire on the beach, and a man by the fire, they see who it is, they see that it's Jesus. And they go ashore, and they eat with him. And then there's a strange story of two of them on their way, walking out of town to a city not far away, and a stranger comes and walks with them, and they're sad. And the stranger said, "Why are you so sad?" And they tell the stranger all that had happened. They get to where they were going, and they say to the stranger, "Stay with us, it's getting late. Come, eat with us, be our guest." And then the guest turns into the host and takes bread and blesses it and breaks it, and then their eyes are opened, and they see that this is no stranger at all. This is none other than the risen Christ, and then he's gone. For 40 days, there were experiences like that, mysterious events, things that whispered, things that proclaimed, things that witnessed that Jesus Christ was alive, is alive. And then Jesus appeared to them one last time, took them out to a mountain outside of Jerusalem, to the Mount of Olives, says to them, go back, wait for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses here and throughout the world. And then in a cloud, he's gone. And they don't know what to do, so they do what he said. They go back and they wait. They go back and they wait. Now it's the 50th day, 10 days later. And you heard the story. They're all together in that room. Fear, no doubt, still being a part of them. Wondering, no doubt, still being a part of them. Could it possibly be true? A question going on in their minds. And then the room is filled with wind and fire. They can no longer keep their experience of the risen Christ of themselves. It no longer seems mysterious or nebulous. It seems hard and real and sure. And they could not do anything other than speak and to tell others and to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ is risen. That's Pentecost. And a handful of disciples found their passion that day. Until then, they had been wandering in darkness. Until the fire came, the passion came. And they found their fire, they found their passion, they found their vocation, they found their call. Now, I think that the Pentecost story isn't just a tale about those first dozen disciples long, long years ago. I believe that it's a paradigm. I believe that it's a pattern. A pattern that applies to you, that applies to me, that applies to all of us. I think Paul understood. Paul said to each of us, each one of us, is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, that fire, that passion of the Spirit of God wasn't just for them long ago. Some of it is for each one of us. Paul goes on, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, varieties of service, but the same Spirit, varieties of ways in which that fire, that passion, that heart throb that says Jesus Christ is Lord, I know it in the depths of my being. There are a variety of ways in which person looking for a life's calling, whether we are retired, looking for a way to fill our time. Our work may pay the bills, says Scott, but vocation does something qualitatively different. Vocation feeds the soul. Vocation is a response to the fire of the Spirit of God. To find a vocation means that you are doing something in response to a deeper voice, something you want to do, something you should do, something you feel good about doing. If I read the New Testament right, and I think I do, each one of us has a vocation. Each one of us has a calling. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, to use Paul's words. Listening becomes a part of our prayer life. In our prayers, we express our needs, our hopes to God, but in our prayer, do you listen? Do you listen for that still small voice that calls you, names you, and says, this is what I have for you to do? For some folks, some fortunate folks, vocation and job coincide. I remember when I graduated as an undergraduate from the University of Michigan, a lot of us were interviewing. I had a friend who was a chemist, a chemistry major, and he had his first job interview. His was before mine. And I said to him, how did it go? What did they do? What did they ask? Well, they asked about my grades and my career goals. And then they asked me, what do you do for fun? And I said to them, I think chemistry is fun. I think that guy probably headed down the right path. I'd love to know what happened to him. Fred Buechner says, this is how you can tell your vocation, your calling, wherever your deep joy intersects the world's deep need. That's your calling. That's your vocation. Now, I have known people who saw their profession as their calling, as their vocation. I've had teachers say that they were called to the skill of teaching. I've had nurses, I've had physicians say that they were called to help heal people. I've had builders and I have had bankers say that they were called to their positions. Healthcare workers, we understand. How about builders? How about bankers? Let me tell you what they told me. I had a builder tell me one time, I build homes. I build structures where people will live, where they will raise their families, where they will love and entertain. I don't cut corners. I build to code. I do it right. Found his vocation. I had a banker once tell me what I do helps build the city in which I live. I can help make life better here. Sometimes our vocations and our jobs and our careers coincide. It's a wonderful thing when we do, when they do. But sometimes, I think all the time, our vocation is also something that we bring to our work, whatever our work may be. Richard Mao once talked about this, and he said, you know, it's one thing for Christians to get together, as many used to do, to say, how can I witness to Jesus Christ at my job? Better question, says Richard Mao, who was the president at that time of Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, where a lot of West Coast Reformed Church ministers are trained and educated. Better still to go to your profession, to your job, asking questions like this. If you're a business owner, how can I write policy? How can I sell a house? How can I build a product? How can I market that product? How can I lobby my congressman in a way that honors Jesus Christ? How can I apply myself to the tasks of my life in a way that honors the Lord? But for a lot of us, for a lot of you, it's hard to find calling and vocation connecting real well with job. When I was a kid, my age is going to show. There was a song that was popular on the radio. It's a 5 o'clock world when the whistle blows.